Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 234 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review. Once you're on that page, and the reviews are always really helpful if you want to leave one while you're there, and say something nice, give 5 stars, all that stuff. You can find us on audioboom.com as well. You can log on to normantranscript.com. I am back to writing now. I'm back from vacation, so you can see my articles there, normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road, or you can just maybe type in Thunder Road and normantranscript.com onto Google or however you search the internet. I don't need to tell you people how to search the internet. You listen to podcasts. You're not a you're adept. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm on right now, and joining me today's episode, Andrew Schlecht, down to dunk fame, and just general great guy fame. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Episode 234. This is a good one. It's a great number to be a part of.
Oh yeah, you know why? Why five was afraid of four? Because 234.
Because 234. Oh man, so. Are you ready to be back in OKC?
Yeah, you know, my existence is mostly the same no matter where I am. I've been in New York for a while. What's beautiful about like this job during August is that like working remotely and working from Oklahoma City makes no difference.
That is great.
Because I don't really have anywhere to go. I'm going to Billy Donovan's camp on Saturday that he's having, but like other than that, I mean, there's. I would just be working from my apartment. Like to paraphrase my editor, I'm not going to see your face anyway. I don't care if you're thousands of miles away or across the street from me.
That's awesome. You got Royce working from Disney World this past week, which that's a pretty good location.
But Royce is ESPN. That's company headquarters.
Oh, that's true. Oh, the mouse.
Royce has got the mouse. He's got when you got the mouse on your side.
That is a big deal.
You want to talk about the schedule? The NBA schedule came out.
So
I imagine this is going to be like, sometimes we go for like an hour, but like our lives if we talk about the schedule for an hour.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like we seriously have to go smash ourselves in the most painful parts of our bodies if that's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like a day that people act really excited for. And then like when you realize exactly what it is, you're like, oh, okay. So they're playing the teams that are in the NBA. Cool.
Yeah, it's 82. So yesterday I used to play in this softball league when I was living in New York. We did this league since my freshman year of college. So we've been doing this for 8 years now. And I left obviously. So now I just come as a ringer when I come back to New York and I come in and I splice in at whatever positions I play. And we played yesterday, and our game was at 6 o'clock, right at the time of the schedule release. So yeah. We have, like, an email thread going on, and I said to him, I had, like, my, like, you know, 10 games you want to watch pre-written. And and because, you know what? You know that they're going to play everyone. So all you have to do is put in the dates after and maybe another sentence or two, and you're pretty much okay. Yep. And I sent to the email thread, like, guys, I'm just letting you know, schedule comes out at 6, so I'll have to be tweeting on the bench. Hopefully the commissioner won't find me. And everyone just came out with me like, why in the world do you need to be tweeting about the schedule? What, are you going to be breaking their 82 games? Like, what in the world? And I was like, people care, man.
People do care. It's August. People care. People will take anything at this point.
Exactly. And one of my buddies who used to work for Politico said like, oh, so like is it, you know, people care. So is that justified putting like Kim Kardashian on the front page of the New York Times? I was like, if you are equating sports and news, people care is a much better justification for sports than it is for news. This is not harming anybody. When you're eschewing Charlottesville for Kim Kardashian, then you got your problem. But I don't think anybody is complaining about this being on literally the back page of our sports section.
No. My favorite August story so far is Russell Westbrook and Paul George work out for the first time together. It's just a hilarious story.
It's an extremely inevitable story.
Right.
Wouldn't the news really be Russell Westbrook and Paul George will never work out together?
Right. Yeah, that is news.
That would be huge news. Basketball players who are teammates work out
together. I can't wait for practice reports where they say Paul George and Russell Westbrook work together.
Well, I wish Royce were here. We can make fun of him for his face for that.
let's do our games, man. Let's talk about the games.
Okay, games. Yeah. Woo. Games. We got games to talk about. So I think what we're going to do today is we're just going to do a top five games you want to watch. And you want to just count down from number five to number one?
Yeah.
And for the record, I did a top 10 games that you don't want to miss as a story for like last night. And my list is different. And my justification is that I don't care about your criticism. That's my only justification. So if you come at me and say, this doesn't match up with this, my answer is just going to be, don't care. And there's no logic behind it, but I don't care.
I've got number five. I've got November 17th at the Spurs. Because I just see the Spurs as kind of a good like measuring stick to see, like, where are the Thunder at? Like, where is this team at early in the season? How are they playing together against this team that will, like, never, ever change and will always be good? So I just look at that and think, kind of circle that one and say, you know, this is one where we can see how's it working so far.
That's a good one. I thought about putting the Spurs. I like cheated a little bit on my story and had number 9, March 10th and March 29th against the Spurs. And the reason I went late is just because I feel like the Spurs are they're not going to be as good. Like, okay, I said this when I went on the Dunked On. I did, by the way, I should plug this because Thunder fans probably care, but I went on Dunked On, Nate Duncan's podcast, and did, they're coming out with the team previews and all that stuff. And first team preview was the Thunder team preview, and I went on. We talked about the Thunder for probably an hour and 15 minutes previewing just about everything. So you can go and you can listen to that. And one of the things we talked about very briefly when we talked about where we think the Thunder might finish in the West is just kind of the placement of the Spurs after the offseason that they had, because last year I thought they got a lot worse and they were going to be playing defensive lineups that were just significantly worse personnel. And I thought they dropped from being number one defense, like something like the number 8 to 10 defense. And they were the number one defense again, somehow. Mm-hmm. And next year, this offseason, they lost Jonathan Simmons and they lost, you know, Tony Parker is hurt and they lost Dwayne Dedman. And I just feel like they're going to be worse. But I also think, like, there's no way they're losing 55 games or winning fewer than 55 games because they're San Antonio. So I don't really know what to do with them. So I feel like they're going to be number three. But I also feel like the Thunder are going to be real close to 55 also. And if they can end up taking those late season wins, like if they win both of those late season games, one at home, one on the road, like that could end up making the difference between a 3 and a 4 if it goes the way that most people think it's going to go. So that's kind of why I chose those late games.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got a late game on here as well that I as actually my number one.
Well, should I give my number five before we get to? Okay, my number five is Golden State versus the Thunder, February 6th.
Okay.
Just, you know, they got the Warriors. It's only the second time that they play. They play a couple times in February and then one more time in April after that November 22nd game. And I just think it's going to be a different kind of environment at those games. Like, obviously, the Golden State-Oklahoma City rivalry last year was really interesting because it went from being a basketball rivalry to being a fan rivalry. You know?
Right.
There was no basketball. I mean, the players obviously were extremely passionate about it because you saw all these scuffles that you didn't see against any other opponents last year during Thunder games.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all based on emotions. Like, it was an emotional rivalry. It had nothing to do with basketball. The Warriors just cleaned them out all four times they played. And this year, if the Thunder put up a fight against them in Golden State, which I think is really plausible because they have the personnel to be able to guard them, and they're going to be really good. And if they can end up doing that, like, on top of the fan rivalry, you're going to add a basketball element. And I think that's going to make the ones in Golden State, you know, obviously those were always big games last year, but they played twice in Golden State before coming to Oklahoma City, and it kind of took away some of the excitement. And the ones in Oklahoma City were really the events, you know. And I don't know if that's going to be the case as much this year, because I think it might end up being back to more of a basketball rivalry, even if the Thunder aren't quite as good as they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, I've got the Warriors, the November 22nd home against the Warriors as my fourth, just because, I mean, it's really, I think the Thunder will be able to compete against them much better, but still, like, this Warriors team is just so good. I can't put it up that high, but it'll be interesting to see, like, how are the fans going to react. They're still going to hate Kevin Durant, but I don't think it will be quite as much. They've got this new team. They got Paul George. Like, it's just the dynamics are just so different, and it's just, I'm very interested to see the reaction. I don't know how excited I am to see this team play the Warriors this year, just because I just think the Warriors are just so much better than everybody, and I just don't know that there's anything anybody can do against them. But I'm more excited to see, like, at home, you know, what's the fan reaction? What does this look like? What's, like, the reality of this team this year?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, look, I certainly did not mean to imply that the Warriors were anything other than the extraordinary favorites to win the title.
Yeah, yeah.
They got better.
They did. I mean, even if they did nothing, they would have gotten better just because they'd have a year together. I don't know. Let's not talk about the Warriors anymore right now, Fred. I'm getting too sad.
All right. Well, my number four is, let's see, because I'm rearranging this story. So this is like true dedication in journalism. You can see how much thought I put into this list, and like how important it was to me. I just spent days just, you know, I kept losing sleep over this, really. It's like, what do I do? And I had to decide that number four is the home opener against the Knicks, which is the overall opener as well.
Yeah.
Against the Knicks. There's just so much happening that night. It'll be, if it's a mellow revenge game, then I'll put it even higher. But it won't be a mellow revenge game. Please don't tweet at me that. That was a joke. please stop annoying me. It's like, you know what I've become on Twitter? There's this Ray Romano joke where he says that his wife saw a woman on the bus. His wife was alone on the bus, and she saw a woman that he would have liked had he been there to see her, and she got mad at him for it, and which is a really good joke. And I feel that way. I'm like the Ray Romano's wife about my Twitter followers now. Like, I'm pissed at them for now tweeting at me about suggesting that Melo's coming to Oklahoma City when it was clearly a joke, even though this hasn't even been posted yet.
You don't think he's coming, man? Ennis Kanter, Doug McDermott?
Woo!
Let's get it done.
Spring break. yeah, Knicks 4. You know, it's such a big one. It's home opener, season opener. It's nationally televised on TNT, and way more importantly, it's Westbrook's first game at the peak since winning MVP. Preseason games don't count. It's his first game since winning MVP, and I'm sure the ovation during you know, lineup intros and all that stuff, I'm sure they're going to introduce him as reigning MVP Russell Westbrook, and there's going to be a ginormous roar. It's going to be Paul George's first game, you know, playing in Oklahoma City with the Thunder. Like, there's a lot of stuff to introduce at this game, and I feel like the opening 4 minutes, especially like if the Thunder get out to a hot start, the opening 4 minutes, like that crowd, it's always crazy. That crowd is going to be just nuts.
Yes, and they are going to kill the Knicks on national TV. Like, they are going to destroy that team.
What a bold call.
It's just so... yeah. Porzingis is fun too.
Porzingis is extraordinarily fun. Like, yeah. I feel like this is the season where he could end up making. I mean, this is also not a bold call, but like, they held him back last year. Like, they They signed Derrick Rose, who's ball dominant. And Melo during Porzingis' rookie season was actually super willing to pass to Porzingis. Like, the whole narrative around that team was that Melo was way more pass first 2 years ago than he'd ever really been. And he really went out of his way to help Porzingis and develop a relationship with him, both on and off the court, tried to develop chemistry with him. And last year, it was just late game. It was just they'd get away from Porzingis. Derrick Rose would have the ball forever. Melo would have the ball forever. Their offense just it didn't make sense for Porzingis. And I feel like some of that had to do with Derrick Rose. Some of that had to do with, you know, directives from Phil with certain types of offensive sets that they had to run, which were not good for Porzingis. And I feel like it's going to be a lot more friendly of a situation for him this year. And I feel like he can end up being pretty awesome. So I'm excited to see what he's going to end up doing, especially, honestly, if Melo's not there. Because if he's not, then this is really, truly his team. And he can just kind of go take over and be putting up, you know, 20 and 10 maybe.
Yeah, let Porzingis go. Let the team be bad because they have their draft picks. Like, let the team be bad. Just trade Melo for whatever you can get at this point. It's just kind of, I don't know. That Knicks team is just such a mess. I've got October 22nd versus the Timberwolves because that's like the first like real game that the Thunder have on their schedule. Because they got the Knicks, they have the Jazz, who I think the Jazz will be decent. But like the Timberwolves are like in the conversation with the Thunder for like the 4-5, and or I guess yeah 4-5, and I just think that that'll just be a really anticipated matchup for me, just to see how they fare against a like legitimate NBA team in the Western Conference.
That will be the biggest game the Timberwolves and Thunder have ever played.
Against each other? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, against each other, of course. Yeah, the Thunder have played slightly bigger games than the October game against the Timberwolves.
Yeah, no, it will be. And we'll get to see the really awful Timberwolves jerseys versus the really awful Thunder jerseys. That'll be awesome.
Someone made a comment, which I thought was incredible, and I can't unsee it now, that the Timberwolves' new logo looks like it would be like the SB Nation logo for the Timberwolves site.
That is so true.
It's a great call.
That is. It also looks like just like a bad mock-up of the Wizards jerseys. Their jerseys do.
They're not good.
No.
They're not good.
But that game will be highly anticipated.
Yeah. I mean, the Wolves are going to be fun and they're going to be good. And my personal favorite part of all of it is that like I get to hear Tibbs screaming at people.
Yeah, that's true.
His voice is so low and it just resonates the frequency on those sound waves is just so it's low, right? Yeah, low frequency. Yes. There we go. I'm not a complete and total idiot, only a slight idiot. What number are we on?
Three.
All right. Thunder head to Indiana, December 13th. That's mine.
Yeah.
Paul George return game. That's Paul George's equivalent of the Kevin Durant return game. I guess that's just what a return game is. And I don't think it's going to be close to the environment that it was when Durant came back.
Yeah.
But I also don't think he's going to be received particularly kindly. That crowd, sure. You know, everyone talks about now Indiana fans are going to get pissed at me, but everyone talks about how passionate Indiana fans are about basketball. And it's definitely true that basketball is huge in that state, but at the same time, like, their crowds are bad. Their attendance sucks. Their players call out their fans all the time. It's this weird. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing for a state that's supposed to be so into basketball. I mean, they're certainly extremely into basketball on the college level and even on the high school level. But it's always been weird to me that they're so into basketball at the amateur level, but not when they have a professional team.
Yeah, I guess. Probably some of that has to do with them just being so okay for like the past few years.
But they went to like two conference finals, back to back years, and they were still.
But
were
their crowds
issues.
Bad then? I don't know anything about their crowds then.
They were like not warranty. I'm trying to remember exactly where they were. I want to say they were like middle of the pack in attendance. It also is an issue with their arena. I think their arena is not they have issues with the arena and guys getting there. But like it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing because they're so passionate about IU, and they're even passionate about like AAU stuff. And you look at all the great players who have come out of Indiana. like the Mark Titus AAU team where it's just like every single guy was like a lottery pick. It was did you read Mark Titus's book?
Mm-mm, I did not.
It's very funny. I can strongly recommend it. It's extremely funny. Mark Titus writes for The Ringer, wrote for Grantland. He was a walk-on at Ohio State on those Greg Oden teams. And it was the same year as Greg Oden. It was the same year as Greg Oden, and he wrote a whole book about his freshman year at Ohio State. Or actually his whole time at Ohio State, but that freshman year was with Oden. And his AAU team, which Titus came off the bench, the starting five was it's like the greatest AAU team. It was Mike Conley at the one. Eric Gordon at the two, Daquan Cook at the three, Josh McRoberts at the four, and Greg Oden at the five.
Oh, man. Those guys were all so good in high school, too. Like, Josh McRoberts, people forget, but he was, like, one of the top kids in the country.
Yeah.
Like, he was incredible.
That team is just outrageous. Needless to say, they didn't lose a game. Anyway, I don't anticipate the crowd environment in Indiana being nearly as crazy, but I also don't think Paul George is going to get a standing ovation. And I think it's going to be one of those games where a team rallies around one guy and George ends up having an emotional experience. And like I feel like those are always cool basketball experiences. I always enjoy watching that stuff. So I'm putting that game at number three, even though they'll have already played the Pacers by that point in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you don't have the Domantas Sabonis return on your list?
I don't have the Cameron Payne return either.
Oh, the campaign return. Man, what do you think? How do you think Domas is going to do in Indiana? People are so down on him. Everybody just writes him off as just a crappy player now. But I don't think he's that bad.
I think what ends up happening, and I think a similar thing has happened with Victor Oladipo. I think what ends up happening when you get traded in a lopsided trade, there's really not that much nuance that people go into that goes into the public perception of you anymore. Mm-hmm. And people, because the trade was so much better for one team, people then say that the haul that they got back sucked and thus the players suck. Yeah. So people have been like, I feel like Victor Oladipo's reputation has been shot the last 2 months, you know?
Yep.
And
yep.
Like same thing with Domantas Sabonis. Like I think Sabonis is going to end up being a third big man. And he'll end up being pretty good. And I honestly think him getting that situation in Indiana will be better for him specifically in the long term. I think he's going to be better. I think there were, they didn't really play to his strengths last year. He was just kind of a stretch four, and that was it. And that was something he had never done before. And he did not do particularly well with Westbrook on the floor. And the same thing goes for Victor Oladipo, where he didn't touch the ball. And, like, couldn't Vic conceivably be like 25-4 last year, next year 24-4 on a bad team? Like, I'm not saying he's like a great player. I'm not even saying that his contract is not overvalued, but like to be saying like he's not a good player, I don't think that's true. He's a pretty solid defender, and he's not, it's not like he's a bad shooter. He's not this knockdown shooter, but he shot 36% from three and shot pretty well in catch and shoots and from the corners and that kind of stuff. Like, and if he can just get his free throw rate up, which I don't know if that's something he'll ever do, but if that's something he can at least improve on and get it a little bit better to where it's not like at the level of like Danny Green's and Klay Thompson's and all these other catch and shoot guys, if he can do that, then like he could become a pretty solid player.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think both those guys will be good and will have a role on this Indiana team. And I mean, they really should put the ball in Vic's hands a lot and give him a chance to you know, either become a pick and roll guy or to become, you know, or just to show that he is a 3-and-D guy. Like, give him a chance, and I think they will, and he'll be fine. I agree with you. Everybody hates on that trade so much, but you know, this is not Kwame Brown and Javaris Crittenden. Like, these are like legitimate NBA players.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And that being said, it was a total steal by the Thunder, that trade.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. It can be that it was a great trade for the Thunder and the Pacers got guys that aren't awful.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your number two?
I've got February 13th at home against the Cavs. It'll be the first game after the trade deadline. The trade deadline's earlier this season. It's on February 8th. And you know Sam Presti's going to do something. And there's always just high intrigue, whether they trade for like a bench player or whatever it is. There's always high intrigue to see like what are these bench guys, or what is this new trade? What does it do for the team? And so, and playing the Cavs too. Like, this team will be established. They should have some good chemistry by then, and maybe they add another piece, and you're playing LeBron. I think that's will be a highly interesting game, and it's at home.
That's a very good one. I didn't think about that, but that's a very good one. My number two is Christmas. Houston. Yeah. That's a, playoff rematch, Harden and Paul. It's like it's two teams that are integrating major stars to play next to established ones. Mm-hmm. And we don't really know. We can guess logically that both of them are going to be better next year than they were this year because they both added tremendous players and to already good to very good teams. But we don't know for sure. And right. If they both end up being good, that could be right around the time where they kind of are exiting the first stages, like the 2 month period. Could be around mm-hmm. the time where they're kind of exiting those early stages of the learning process and they're really starting to gel. And if both those teams are starting to play well and starting to really get comfortable and they're playing around those times and you've got those personal relationships already there and, you know, Chris Paul is probably going to piss somebody off at some point. Yeah. And like, it's going to be really interesting to see how those two teams guard each other because they're both really versatile now. Like, the Rockets had this reputation last year of this being this, like, defenseless, like, this defenseless team, you know? And, mm-hmm. like, that's not the case. I mean, people talk about, oh, they lost Beverly. Well, guess what? Chris Paul's a better defender than Patrick Beverly, so they improved defensively with that acquisition. And Patrick Beverly's a great defender. I think he's an all-defense-level defender, but Chris Paul, in my opinion, is the best defensive point guard in the NBA. So you've got Paul coming on, and then they brought in PJ Tucker, and they brought in Bob Mute, and they've got Ariza still, and like the Capella, I expect to be better because he's still super young. So like there's defensive potential on both these sides. There's versatility. There's shooting. It's going to be two really good teams, and it's the Christmas Day game. It's the why do you always say Christmas Day with the NBA, but never say Christmas Day in any other context?
It's true.
You say, you want to come over for Christmas Day dinner? No one says that.
There's clarifying. Christmas yeah. Day. It's the day.
But the game's,
that
the
is
game's
weird.
At 8. Should be
Christmas night game.
And that can be confusing with Christmas Eve. But Christmas, yeah. You just say Christmas. Why do you need to clarify? It's Christmas. No one
Christmas
says
game.
This. No one says. You know, the Thunder play Golden State on the November 22nd day game. It's at 7 p.m. No one says that.
You should start that.
Yeah, no one does that. No one says Christmas Day. It's the only context that we say Christmas Day is in reference to the NBA schedule.
Yeah, and they don't even do it for like they don't say Martin Luther King Jr. Day games.
Yeah, that's true. You really just say MLK Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, Christmas. The Christmas game.
Oh yeah. The Rockets. Anyway, that should be a fun one. I've been told the funny thing about the Christmas games is that they actually mean nothing. Like
sure.
There is nothing, but for some reason we've all been willingly brainwashed by the NBA's marketing team to believe that these games mean more. Like, oh, they're playing on Christmas. That's huge.
It's a fun day. It's a fun day, though. You're with your family. Everybody's off work. You're usually hanging out with a bunch of people. Got the NBA on. It's fun.
I both have work and am a Jew, not with my family.
Yeah, that's so, that's true.
Maybe that's why.
Yes.
Maybe that's why I have a different perspective on this. But I also, because the Thunder play on Christmas every year, I have to work. So and before I was covering the Thunder, I was just covering the league in general and had even more work because I had to watch all five games mm-hmm. because people care about the Christmas games. It's a weird thing. It's not like football with Thanksgiving. I get it because it used to be like they didn't used to play on Thursdays. So like, oh, it's special. They're not playing on a Sunday. That's like a weird, quirky thing, you know, mm-hmm. like Christmas. It's like it's not a thing. And it shouldn't be that special. It's like Knicks 76ers. Those teams combined for fewer wins than the Spurs last year. And the Spurs aren't playing on Christmas. So like how special could it possibly be? We've just been all brainwashed into thinking it's special. And yet, as I rant about how it's not special, I'm so brainwashed that I put him number two on the damn list.
Number one, I have a Rockets game. I've got April 7th at the Rockets, last time that they meet before the playoffs start. I think that these teams will be competing for the second spot in the West. And this game could be important in that seeding. I expect them to be very close as far as records go. And this could be one of the deciding factors. It's also the last time they meet, and so you get to see like who do we think is better of these two, which one will have a better chance to compete with the Warriors in the playoffs. I think that it'll be a highly anticipated matchup. I think that people will probably talk about this game a little bit as far as like the results go, just because we know we see different things in the playoffs. But I just see this being like you're kind of last like measuring stick before the playoffs for OKC and for Houston. So I think that'll be super fun.
So that could be important. It also could be meaningless, right?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, if the Thunder are the four seed, like locked in the four and they're locked in the two, then it's just like, oh, okay. And they may sit somebody like Chris Paul could sit that game. Like you're right. There's a high ceiling, low floor for this game.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I know the NBA is implementing these rules now, and this was first reported by USA Today, that guys have to, they're gonna have penalties for resting guys, especially during nationally televised games and that kind of stuff. And this is a Saturday night ABC game too, so the league is not gonna want teams to rest guys. But like, come on. Teams are just gonna start lying about injuries now. And it's not even lying. It's not like LeBron's leg is going to be completely healthy and they're going to say his leg is hurt. What's going to happen is every single player by the third week of the season, every single player without exception is nursing something. Mm-hmm. Like they're hurt with something. I play a slow pitch softball game and I'm like, oh, I bruised my shin. And that's it. It's not like I'm not going to play softball the next week. I don't think about it. But if I had to rest so get into the playoffs, I could just be like, I'm out with a shin. And that's what they're going to end up doing. They're just going to end up being more dishonest about the severities of the injuries. And that's all it's going to be. It's just going to be like, fill in the blank player is going to be nursing a shoulder thing for the last, 3 weeks and he's going to be fine. And normally they're just going to call it rest. But now they're going to say he's out with a shoulder. And that's going to be it. And I don't see... Maybe I'm too out of touch. Like maybe I'm jaded and I'm not as in touch with the fans as much. And I understand why it's an issue and I understand why it's something the league has to do. But you know what the best way to do it is? Don't give the Thunder 14 back-to-backs.
Right.
Like there are better ways.
Yeah. I know they eliminated all the four games in five nights, which is really good, but they didn't seem to do much for the back-to-backs with the elongated schedule. And I wonder how they'll fix that. Because you're right. Like, back-to-backs are not helpful for anyone.
No. I mean, they're helpful for the league.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's obviously a significantly more complicated situation than we're making it out to be. There's no question about that. And I understand what the league is trying to do with those rules. Like, it's not a bad thing that they're putting in the rules. I'm just skeptical as to how effective they're going to be. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe teams just won't want to deal with it. They won't want to deal with even just like the phone call that they're going to get after, even though if there's no penalty, and they'll just kind of, it'll force them to oblige a few more times. So maybe I'm wrong. You don't think like the Spurs are just going to say like, well, Kawhi's got an ankle, and then Kawhi's just going to like skip out of the gym. Sorry, Kawhi doesn't skip. That's too joyful. Kawhi slowly walks.
They'll just put like knee soreness or wrist soreness or something like that. Because that's been on reports before.
The Thunder do that already. Andre Robertson sat with knee soreness the last two regular season games. And Andre Robertson, I mean, he did have knee soreness. He did bang his knee and he did have knee soreness. But if they weren't locked into the sixth seed, Andre Robertson 100% would have played in both those games.
Yeah.
Doug McDermott, same thing, sat a little bit. Taj Gibson, same thing, sat a little bit. Like and you know what? There's nothing wrong with it from the team standpoint, from a strategic standpoint. I've never thought that they should get that fans should be upset with the teams when it comes to resting. I've never thought that was really. I understand them getting upset. I've always thought it was more of an issue with the league, and I guess this is the league's way of trying to do something about it. It's just it's a tough situation, and I'm not 100% sure if, depending on what the penalties are, maybe the penalties would be so harsh that teams will just not want to deal with it. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. I'm curious to know.
Yeah, it seems like a move more like, well, we tried, but, you know, LeBron's not going to play, you know, in every city or something like that. I think the only reason for people to be mad is, like, you buy your kid, like, a ticket to see LeBron in, like, April, and then, like, he just doesn't come. And you're like, okay, that sucks. But other than that, I don't
know. No, I think that's a legit reason to be mad. I totally get that. I think that's totally legit because that's why people are buying the tickets. And also the NBA has created this kind of marketing strategy where they market their stars, you know? Right. Like if I go to an Angels game and I don't see Mike Trout, I'll be pissed because I'm going to see Mike Trout. But I might not be as pissed as I would be if I went to a Cavs game and I didn't see LeBron.
Right. Yeah. So one player makes such a big difference in the NBA, and that's why it matters so much when these guys do sit over really any other sport.
Yep. Absolutely. But I understand the fans being pissed. I've always understood that. I think there's maybe I'm an NBA elitist, but I think there's a right way to be pissed about it. Like there's a correct place to direct your anger, and there's an incorrect one. And I just don't think the teams or the players deserve that anger. I think this is a league issue, not an issue with the players.
Yeah. No, I mean, and these guys need to rest. Like if these guys are going to give it their all every night and then compete for a title, like they have to rest. You can't. I mean, even the Warriors would tell you a couple of years ago that because they went all out, they were exhausted in the finals. Like, that team was better than that Cavs team. They should have won the title. But I think because they went for the wins record, it probably hampered their ability to win the title. So I think that you have to rest.
You know what that means? Dodgers are going to lose in the MLB playoffs. Oh, I didn't give my number one.
No, yeah, give your number one.
Golden State, November 22nd.
Yeah.
I really went out on the limb with that one. Durant's coming back.
Yeah. No, it'll be crazy. And when they announce Paul George probably last, it's going to be so loud. It's going to be so loud. Maybe probably louder than the boos for KD. Will the cheers be for Paul George?
Yeah. That is a great point, and that is probably right. You want to end it on that note?
Yes.
Okay. What do you got to plug before we go?
Listen to Down to Dunk. We have a trivia night coming up on August 24th. We're going to do Thunder Trivia at Anthem Brewing at 6:30. So bring a trivia team and come hang out with us.
That'll be fun. The Down to Dunk get-togethers are always fun. You remember I'm on Tuesday, Thursday. Head out to iTunes. Subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. Leave a review, like I said, at the top of the show. If you're feeling generous, those always help. The reviews are always really nice is it the iTunes ratings or rankings?
Yeah, you know, I don't have any idea because I don't know what goes into those rankings, but I always say that it helps us in the rankings.
I'll be totally transparent. I have been told that it helps in the rankings, and I know that it helps in the rankings. But not only do I not really know how the rankings are made, I don't know how to find them or what they are.
Well, they have them on, like, you can go to store and then you can search for podcasts.
Right, but you can only see, like, the top 200.
Yeah, you see the top 200, and, like, my podcast will appear sometimes there, like, in the top, like, 50. And I'll be like, wow, we're doing great today. And then it'll be like, we have the same numbers the next week, and it's like, well, we're nowhere close to it being in the top 200. It is, I don't understand it.
That's what I'm saying. I have no idea how it goes.
It makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Anyway, if you have questions or comments, email lockdownthunder@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for Thunder articles and Thunder stuff and writing and reading. Well, you're not writing. I'm writing. You're reading. You can do that. normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. Check my links on Twitter too. that is going to do it for today. Andrew, thank you for coming on and analyzing this extremely, extremely important topic with me.
Oh, it's a great day.
And if you didn't want to spend 45 minutes listening to a schedule breakdown, you can just go to NBA.com and take 30 seconds to read the schedule. Get all the information we've taken 45 minutes to give you today. all right, that's going to do it for today. Fun podcast on Thursday, which I will be coming back then. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
The new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.